Good morning. Good to see you again today. As always, thank the Lord that He has provided another day for us, another morning, that we can come and fellowship together. If the Lord had not given us this day, where would we be? Think on that a little bit. Every one of us has got to answer that on that question for themselves. But if the Lord had not given us this day, where would you be today? So we want to try to finish the study that we've been doing concerning Adam and Eve and God's creation. And we will be in the third and fourth chapter of the book of Genesis this morning. Excuse me, as we look together. Bow with us in just a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our study. Lord, again today, as we do each and every day, we come to you with thankful hearts. Lord, we thank you that you have granted us another day. But Lord, we would ask that we would take advantage of this day to serve you, to do something this day that will uplift and glorify your precious name. Help us to live a life that those around us might see Christ in us and know that there's something different about us. Not of ourselves, but of you. And Lord, we'd ask that it might show in the world that we live in. Lord, I thank you for each one who's present and each one who's listening in. I ask again, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might be ever present with us now, that it might open your precious word before us and help us to gain knowledge and understanding and help us to know more when we leave than when we came. But Lord, we know that if I or they who are listening and are present know anything more when we leave than when we came, it'll be because of you and because of the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the breaking down of your precious word to help us to understand it. Lord, I thank you for your saving grace. I thank you for your presence in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that we know that you are present every moment of each and every day and night as you bless us to live. Help us now, not only in this Sunday school hour, but during the worship service, that we might feel your presence, know how real you are, and Lord, for those who know you not in saving grace, may the day be the day that will be the most precious day in all their lives if they come to know you in saving grace. We do ask that you bless now and ask this through the precious name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we've been talking about Adam and Eve and their sin and their fall in the Garden of Eden. We've been talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we know that when Adam and Eve sinned, they saw themselves to be naked, so they made themselves fig leaves, an apron of fig leaves, and clothed themselves. But now you remember when God showed up in the second chapter, in the 8th and 9th and 10th verse, I believe, when they heard the voice of God walking in the garden, what happened? Now there's something different. Because the first time we see it says they were what? They were afraid, and they did what? They hid themselves from God. Now, they come to realize that they were not in a fit condition to be in the presence of God. And you and I, without the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and the forgiveness of sin are not fit to be in the presence of God. That's the only way it is made possible. So here's Adam and Eve now. They've tried to do something themselves, but they, in the back of their minds, I think we can see that they know and understand that what they've done is not sufficient, because the Lord burdened them about what they've done and the sin they've committed, and then we know the judgment passed. But then in verse number 21 of chapter number 3, verse 21 in chapter number 3, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. What's the only thing that Adam and Eve had any part in what we've just read in verse number 21? What's the only thing they did? Now, it says they clothed in skin. So we know in that particular situation that something's got to die and blood's got to be shed for them to be clothed. So what do we see? Here God, who has just created all those things that we read about in Genesis in the creation process, and there's the animals that he's created. And you got to remember now that what did animals eat in the beginning? Now you think about this for just a moment. Animals and mankind. What did Adam and Eve eat? Everything ate green herbs. Animals did not kill each other in the beginning. That takes place a little farther down when judgment began to come into picture. So here are those animals that God has, and he, every time he did something now in those days that he did the creation work, he said, when he got through with it, he said, and it is what? It's good. So he's created these two animals, and they're good. And they have done absolutely nothing. But what's fixing to happen to them? They're fixing to be used for sacrifice, shed their blood, to do what? To make Adam and Eve coats of skin, where they'll be fit to be back into the presence of God. And God Almighty did the same for you and I. Only this time it was His precious Son, His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He offered on a cross and shed His precious blood so we might have what? A righteous robe and be able to be in the presence of God. So we see that in that 21st verse here that the only thing that Adam and Eve did in this whole process is receive what God has already made present for them. And we're in the same situation today. We look at this dispensation of grace. The only requirement for God in saving grace is to receive the gift. By grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a what? It's a gift. But a gift can sit on the table and you never open it, and you've never had any part of receiving it. You don't know what's in it. You don't know what it's like to have obtained that gift. But then I got to thinking about some things that I hadn't looked at before, and you hear me say this all the time. I don't want to read these next few verses for you now after God has made provisions for Adam to be, Eve to be back. Of course, it don't say Eve. It says wife. But I want you to look at these next verses from 22 to 24 real close. See if you see anything in it that's unusual. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." So now, what do we see in this particular verse? There is a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Must I remind you that in chapter number 2 and verse number 15, listen to this carefully, or turn there either one. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree." How many is every? Okay, every is all. It says, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Verse number 17, "But what?" Which tree? "But the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. If they eat of it, then you surely die." Now, does that say that Adam and Eve could not eat of the tree of life? The only one he told them they could not eat of was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, we look here and we see in verse number 22, he says he told a man, we're going to have to do something, because if we don't, he's going to put forth his hand and he's going to take of the tree of life and he's going to eat and live forever. Now, the sever point was Adam and Eve had eternal life prior to taking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that severed that. It also brings physical death in the picture. So Adam and Eve, according to what God has said in His Word, and it's always truth, Adam and Eve are going to die. That's God's plan and purpose. So if they partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then what does that do to God's plan? The tree of knowledge of life, what does that do to God's plan? You ever thought about that? Because if they eat of that tree of life, then they're going to live how long? Forever. Well, God says, if you take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And it's both, at that time, spiritual and physical. But there's something else that I got looking at here. "And the Lord God said, behold the what?" Verse number 22. The man. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to Adam. Where is Eve in this picture? Eve is not in this picture. He is not talking to Eve. The whole time he is talking to Adam. Look now. He said to the man, behold, he's come as one of us to know good and evil. Well, we know Eve was the same situation. Now, lest he put forth his hand. See, his hand. And he. And also take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, what does God know? God knows that that tree of life now is going to be to them just like the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they're going to do what? What did they do to the tree of knowledge of good and evil? They went in need of it, didn't they? What do you think they're going to do to the tree of life? They'll go eat of it. I'll guarantee they would. And if they did, then what? They live forever. But what they live forever in? In that old body. Now, what did God say is going to happen to them if they partook of it? Then we look at the judgment that was given. In sorrow and the sweat of the brow and all those things. Wonder what Adam would look like today if he'd have took the tree of life. He'd have been a rough looking old man, wouldn't he? Still been in a physical body. But why did he direct that to Adam? It applies to Eve just like it does to Adam. But see, the seeds pass through the male. So that would have put all of us in that same situation. We'd all been under judgment. Live in this old body with all the problems that we have as we live through life. But we'd be like they are going to be in Revelation during the tribulation period when they go and cry for the mountains to fall on them and hide their faces from the judgment of God. Want to die and can't die. But you see, that wasn't God's plan. God always fulfills his plan. So what's he going to do? He's going to do what we see in verse number 22 and 23. 23 and 24. He's going to fulfill his purpose and his plan for man. Therefore, because if man takes of it, that's the situation he's going to be in and society's going to be in and the world's going to be in. So in verse number 23, he says, therefore, I'm going to do something. Therefore, the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, if you think that man would not have gone and partaken of the tree of life, what did God know and what did he do? He knew man would if it was present. So what does he do? He sets guard over it that it cannot happen. Because the only way in God's plan that you and I can have eternal life is only through Jesus Christ, his Son. And it's going to be God's way and by God's plan. Now what we see is God's plan is now in action. And he's taking all those possibilities for it to be done any other way out of the way. Man cannot obtain eternal life, but only through Christ and God Almighty. Now, let's look at and see what takes place since man is now in a situation that he has a knowledge of sin. And God said that we were going to be born sinners. And how do we know that other than he said that? Well, we're fixing to see where it's proof also. So look in chapter number 4, and let's look at verse number 1. It said, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, here's their occupations. One of them the tiller of the ground, one of them the keeper of the sheep. But now let's look at these next few verses. And I want us to look at them very carefully as we do. You know the story. Let's kind of dig into this story a little bit. In verse number 3, it says, and in what? In the process of time. So now time has, these boys, we're looking in these first verses of conception and tells them they're tiller of the ground and keeper of the sheep. But now we've got a whole lot of time that has passed from that verse to this process of time. This process of time is a good long time. How do I know it's a good long time? Well, let's look and see if we can figure it out. It came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So he's in a situation that he has a crop. He's old enough. The tenth crop. Now, if we look at Abel, and Abel also brought the first of his flock. Cain had a field. Abel's got a flock. They're on up good size, got to be, because they're looking after him. Now, notice that it says he brought an offering in verse number 3. Cain brought an offering of what? Of the ground. And then Abel brought the firstling. Notice this sequence now. He brings the firstling of his flock, the best, okay? And of the fat thereof. So he's got the best he's got, and that's what he's bringing to the Lord. So mother and daddy has taught both of the boys. One of them got the message, the other one didn't, but they've been taught well because it's time to offer the offering, and this is what you do. And it says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel's and to his offering. Now, verse number 5 starts with the word what? But. Now, you know, when I was looking at this and thinking about it, you know, when you look at a big basket of fruit and vegetables, and it's got your corn and your beans and your cauliflower and your squash and all those things that we love to eat. And I'm thinking about it, yeah, he probably had that thing just all piled up with all those real pretty and nice fruits. And then all of a sudden, I think he probably even had a watermelon. He might have took that watermelon and cut it open. When you cut a watermelon open, he cut that watermelon open and put it right up on top of all the rest of his fruit. When you cut a watermelon and look at it, what color is it? It's red, ain't it? Kind of looks like blood, don't it? But if you let some of the juice out of that watermelon run off, what is it? Is it blood? Water in it. Don't make no difference. That watermelon is red. it's not blood. So God says what? Caleb, I'm not going to accept this. Cain, I'm not going to accept this. He says, but unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth. No, he got real mad. Not just mad, he got real mad. Said very wroth. And his countenance fell. How long does it take sin to show up? And here's proof of what God's word says. And we've already seen it in the first two children that were ever born on the face of this earth. But now the good thing about this is these next verses. I want you to pay attention to these next verses now. Real good. So somebody's going to come in the picture real quick. And who's going to come in the picture? He said, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Why are you wroth? Why are you mad? Why is your countenance fallen? Why is your position changed? It don't make any difference how mad I get or what I think. I'm not going to change God's plan nor his mind. When God says it's going to be this way, it's going to be this way. And when he says there is no other way, there is no other way. And the thing was here that an offering had to be brought. It had to be the firstling of the flock. And it had to be a blood offering and a sacrifice. The only way that he's going to be accepted. But notice verse number 7. If thou doest what? Well. If thou doest well. Well, you say, wait a minute now, that's doing something. Well, we'll get on into that in a minute. Shall thou not be accepted? Now, what's the only thing that's going to keep the Lord God from accepting Cain just like he has Abel? It's how he receives something. Now let's look at it. And we want to look at a few verses. In John 8, let's flip over to John just a minute and look at John number 8. I've got to turn so you can turn with me. 8th chapter. Verse number 24. Now, if we look at verse number 20, it says, 8th chapter, verse number 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. So these words Jesus spake. Now, who's doing the talking? Jesus is doing the talking. Now, look at verse number 24. I said, therefore, unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye, what? If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. What's the only requirement in this verse to keep you from dying in your sins. The only thing is believe. But God says, I said. So now who has made the plan of salvation? Who is the plan of salvation? What is the plan of salvation? God said unto you, you're dying your sins if you believe not that I am He. So who have you got to believe in? So you believe in Christ. And that's it. It don't give any other things to be done. Keep that in mind. Now, in Romans chapter number 10, we'll look at another verse or two here right quick. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17. He says, so then, faith. Now we talked about believing, but you got to have some faith in something before you believe in something. So now, how do we obtain faith? So it says, faith cometh by what? Hearing. Okay, so faith's going to come by hearing, so I got to hear something to obtain the faith. Well, and hearing cometh by what? By the Word of God. You know, it's amazing that you and I, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit opening our eyes, we don't have the ability to believe in God. Because you and I have got to be convinced that we're sinners doomed and damned for an eternal hell before we ever droned to the cross. Now look at John. Go back to John again. I asked you again a while ago what Adam and Eve had to do with that coat that God put on them. So you look at John chapter number 1 and verse number 11. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And we know Christ talking to the Jews. But, there's that big but again. He said, but as many as did what? Received him. I want you to look at the next phrase. To them gave he power. Now, where did they obtain this power that we're going to see the results of? He said, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. And how is that accomplished? He says, even to them that believe on his name. And you don't have the power to come to God through Christ, and I don't have the power to come through God by Christ unless he grants it to us by the Holy Spirit and the work in our hearts and our lives. Because a natural man does what? he comprehendeth not the things of God. So it had to be revealed to us. Every one of us in here who are saved this morning, the Holy Spirit had to reveal to us that we were a sinner, lost and doomed and damned for an eternal hell, and that's where we'd headed. And without believing in Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins on Calvary's tree, we have no hope. And that power for you and I to believe comes from God. So now let's go back to the book of Genesis in chapter number 4 again. And let's look at this 11th verse. If thou doest well, wilt thou not be accepted. Now, there's an if in verse number 7. It starts off with if. Then there's also an if in the middle of this verse. And if thou doest not well, then what? Sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So you're just going to be completely consumed by sin. If thou doest well. Well, let's go back for just a moment. What got Adam and Eve in trouble? God gave a command, didn't he? Thou shalt not eat. God gave a command. By grace are you saved, through faith. God's grace, his undeserving love and mercy toward us. Are we saved through faith? Through what? Through faith. What's faith? That's a trust and a believing in God and his word. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. How does salvation come? Only through and by trusting and receiving what God said. And that is, I loved you enough to send my son Jesus Christ to die for your sins, that you might have eternal life. And I present it to you as a gift. Lord, grant us power. Grant us power. The same power that saves you, the same power that to serve you. The Holy Spirit within us. God bless you and thank you for listening today.